Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
Everyone listening, I'm speaking to Peter Halpern. He is a Canadian, 73. These are my notes. Moved here on December 28th, 2023, which is my birthday. And
happy birthday. Belated.
Yeah. Divorced twice, you told me, came here by yourself and had never been here before. Did not grow up going to Israel. You're not a religious Jew. You didn't go to yeshiva. You are one of those. You also said that Nefesh B'Nefesh was very helpful for you. You had a great experience. And you're doing an ulpan and you have no background in Hebrew. So you're one of these, you know, different types. So tell me about you and what would drive someone like you here and what it's been like, what your Aliyah experience has been like.
Okay, so nice to talk to you again. Right off the bat, I mean, you referred to me as a Canadian, and I think I mentioned I actually grew up in New York City, although I've lived in Canada. I mean, before coming here, I did live in Canada for about 15 years, and I'm a permanent resident there. But I'm still a citizen of the United States, a permanent resident of Canada, and now a citizen or citoyen of Israel.
Yeah.
So tell you about myself. Okay, you got like a lot of the other stuff. I'm 73. I'm single. I came here in December. 4 months, everything fine so far. Nefesh B'Nefesh was a tremendous help. My recent wife and I decided to separate in like around early fall 2022. And it's funny, like previous to that, we had always joked about the fact that if by some miracle I should outlive her, she's 15, 16 years younger than me. If by some miracle I should outlive her, we used to joke that I would spend the remaining 10, 15, 20 years of my life in Israel. Well, I haven't outlived her, but we separated in fall of 2022. And around that time, I was looking at like, what do I want to do next at this phase of my life?
Okay.
And,
so that's my question. Yeah. Well, let me just ask you, you haven't mentioned anything about your background. So just tell us, you live in Haifa, I think. You know, you're not here because you went to yeshiva. You didn't grow up with the day school. You know,
no.
Your relatives here. So why? Why would you even be making that joke with her?
Well, I've always felt a connection to my fellow Jewish people and to Israel in a strange way. I think the pillar of my own Jewish identity has a lot to do with my mother, who survived the Shoah in Hungary, and. You know, as I grew older, I learned more and more about that, and it became more and more important to me. And I've always been very interested in, or even passionate about literature. So I'm no expert on Holocaust history or Jewish history, but I would call myself a high-ranking amateur. And you know, and again, this is not purely like an intellectual thing for me. It's always like a very, you know, I'm very connected to my feelings about the whole thing. That having been said, I did attend Hebrew school as a kid in New York City for a few years. I hated it. I hated Hebrew school. My Jewish identity has a lot to do with my interest in Jewish literature and my mother's own experiences in the Shoah.
Yeah. Just a second, Pete. Those of you listening who don't know what Shoah is the Holocaust. So Pete's telling us his mother was a survivor. Right.
Okay. So moving to the recent or the present, like as you were asking. So you know, my options, like over a year ago, were to remain in Canada, return to New York City, where most of my remaining family is, or come to Israel. So I was mulling it over, and you know, talking to my two sons. So my kid said, "Dad, you know, like you just turned 70 or whatever. You've been talking about going to Israel for years." So they said, "Dad, you know, now's your chance. I mean, go there. You know, you're pretty much retired now. You're in good shape in all ways. Go there now and see what it's like."
So this is all because you finished this divorce. You're like, okay, I'm done this. Now what? Kind of like a now what?
I guess you could look at it that way. Right.
Yeah. Okay. So
as I said, of my options, Israel was the most attractive to me for a variety of reasons. But, you know, I visited Haifa on a so-called scouting trip, and I loved it here immediately. I guess for Israel, I mean, what I've been told, and it seems that way to me, having been to other places, having been to Jerusalem, and the atmosphere here is a lot more diverse and tolerant and secular and progressive. So I feel right. very at home here. And right. I know this. This puts you and I at kind of in different places, but you know, we're both Jewish, right?
No, it's so. Totally cool. I love Haifa. I was there this summer with my daughter. That is nice. Look, there's no place in Israel that's bad, in my opinion. I mean,
I agree with you. I it's a cliche, but and again, here I am, like a very secular, non-observant Jew, who my entire life I really had very little to do with Judaism, and I make a distinction between Judaism and Jewish, and actually, you could even Israel is like another category. And again, here we are again. I know this. Again, puts us in very different places mentally, perhaps. But it's great we're able to talk to each other. And I mean, I hope you feel the same way. I feel you are a fellow Jewish person, and I respect whatever beliefs you may or may not have, and you know, how you live your life. And you know, I hope that goes both ways.
Of course, sure.
Okay.
All right. That's what I love about Israel. Also, like I'm sitting here. Cleaning for Passover, and I see my neighbors, and they're like, and everybody here is putting out their stuff to market. I mean, it's so funny. We have this group called Yesh LeMishehu, which means does anybody have? And everyone's giving away their garbage. So now it's like, does anybody want? Does anybody want my old shoes? Does anybody want this old pot? I mean, it is so funny. It's so funny.
Yes, that's funny. I mean, I know some people here in Haifa who run similar things.
So,
I haven't, fortunately there's nothing I need. I can always use a good piece of furniture here.
Oh yeah. Always keep looking at those groups.
Yeah.
People are putting everything out. And I mean, we have this bed, anybody want this baby bed and all kinds of stuff. And, I'm just telling you this because you're telling me how different we are. Well, you know, I don't feel like I'm as religious as everyone else here. I didn't grow up Israeli. I didn't grow up religious. Am I cleaning good enough? Am I doing the right thing? You know, and in Israel, nobody really judges. It's not like that.
Yeah.
And nobody's walking around, snooping, asking, is this kosher enough? Is this clean enough? No, not at all. I even met with these women. And the other night, they're like, dust. We don't do dust. Dust is not part of it. And
it's great here. I know in the States and actually, I mean, wow, the States and Canada, as you know, and I'm sure as many of your listeners know, I mean, with the war, it's just outrageous. It's really horrifying.
Yeah.
Like the
it
the
turned on us so
to me, the
quickly.
These reptiles, Jew hating reptiles have crawled out from under the rocks.
Yeah.
And are able to do this kind of crap. It's just simply horrifying.
Yeah, yeah.
But where I was going with that is, in the States and North America, people will come to blows over differing political and cultural opinions.
Yeah.
They're real culture wars. And here, I mean, there are kind of like culture wars here, I guess, which, you know, are manifesting politically too. But, you know, on an everyday level, I don't see people screaming hate at each other or bang for each other's blood, blah, 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 blah.
No, Israelis like to, and what I love about being here, and you'll learn this too, they love to scream and yell, but it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything at all. It's a show.
Right. I've seen, actually just the other day, there was like a minor fender bender, and guys got out of the cars and started yelling at each other.
Of course.
Except in New York City, they're liable to be carrying a weapon. I don't think...
Well, here they're carrying weapons too, but no one's going to shoot over a car accident. They only shoot over terror. I mean, everybody here has weapons, but it's different. So tell me what the process was like. You went to Nefesh B'Nefesh, you went to that seminar, you signed yourself up, and you moved along, and you got here a year later, it sounds like.
Yeah, and I originally, the process was good. I mean, you know, when I became a permanent resident in Canada, the process wasn't that much easier. As you know, I mean, you're coming from North America too, so there's always like red tape to be had. And I originally thought I would actually be here like last summer, but you know, things took a little longer. I had lived in, I think I mentioned this to you, I had lived in Taiwan for about 6-7 years. And, you know, one of the things Israel requires are police background checks. from every country you've ever lived in.
Wow.
For the States and Canada, you know, piece of cake. Taiwan was a little bit trickier. It actually took a little longer. The good news was my first wife, who's from Taiwan and the mother of our children, our two boys. Yeah, we're on good terms. And she helped do that for me. Otherwise, I would have had to go there myself.
That's right. But
bottom line is I wasn't able to come here in the summer. So, I'm basically waiting it out in New York City. And, then once the war started, I thought, oh, my God, this is not going to happen at all. But strangely enough, like towards the end of October, out of the blue, I got an email from the Jewish, I forget the exact name, but one of the Ministry of Immigration. The Jewish agency works with some of the governmental ministries. The Nefesh works with the Jewish agency. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I got an email kind of out of the blue, like, you're good to go. Go down to the consulate office in New York City, get your visa. Which I did. So I had my visa in hand, within a week or so. And then of course the issue was, the visa, it's like use it or lose it. You have to like actually come here within 6 months.
Right.
So then the issue was, do I really want to come here, with a war going on, except in all honesty, that didn't faze me at all. I mean, from talking to people here and like what I knew from the media, that didn't frighten me or make me apprehensive. I figured whatever, I'll deal with whatever happens.
When you were approved and it was a war going on, you got in touch with your friends here to see what was going on. So those friends, those people, who did you have here telling you what was going on?
Friends of friends, people I was like connecting with.
You had to be active.
On the internet. And I was keeping abreast of the media. So
okay, let's put the media aside, because the media is not truthful or really something you should rely on. But it's good if you had friends here. That's the best. I'm talking to my sisters every day, and I'm telling them what's going on. We had the rocket attacks here the other night in Bissell's, and I was telling them what was going on, and they were like, "Wow, you're much better than the news." They were like, "The news is not telling us this at all." They've been telling me this ever since October 7th. And
right.
I think you know that now, being in Israel, it's just very different being here, knowing really what's going on. You can just look around you and talk to friends, talk to neighbors, mm-hmm. talk to shopkeepers, as opposed to what the news is telling people. It's just not the same.
True. True. I was just thinking while I was listening to you, again, as I said, I had my visa in late October. And I conceivably, again, you have to use that visa within 6 months. So I conceivably could have waited in North America until now, right?
Now,
about April,
right.
But again, I was thinking, like, why spend another winter in North America? And more importantly, on one of my scouting trips, I located a beautiful apartment that I really wanted on a really great street. And people in who live in Haifa who may be listening, they may know the street, like Hanadiv. It's just really nice. And my landlord said, like, hey, if you want this apartment, you have to be here in January. So that was the clincher. So
okay,
and again,
so slow down, because you're telling me a scouting trip. What is that?
The scouting trip was earlier in the year. I mean, I came to Israel for about 2 weeks and looked at different places, mostly in Haifa.
On your own?
Go ahead. Yeah, I came on my own. I was staying in a hotel here in Haifa, very nice place, and walking around, talking to people.
Very brave.
Haifa seems, maybe so. Haifa, and by the way, Haifa seems to have a pretty large community of Anglophones. There are a lot of Russian Olim here now too, but the Anglo community here, I mean, when I say Anglo, I mean like English speakers.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of people here who've been here like 20, 30, 40 years, and there's a lot of community stuff going on, and
Very nice.
many of them were connected to the Technion here and the University of Haifa. So
okay.
Again, talking to those people and collecting information.
And you're just, let's slow down a second. How did you seek them out? I mean, I want people to hear, because what you're doing is not so normal. Most people are in a group. They come through their, their daughters or their neighbors. They don't do this on their own. They don't come to Israel and spend 2 weeks in Haifa walking around, meeting people, staying in a hotel. Most people don't do that. That is very brave, and it is very It shows something about you. And
I hear you. Yeah, I guess in that way, maybe I am a bit of an outlier in terms of like my willingness to do things like that and go. You know, I've lived in foreign countries though. I lived in Taiwan for a while.
That's true.
But I speak other languages. But again, like as you said, I mean, some of these people I originally met on Facebook and other places on the internet while I was researching. So
amazing.
Again,
if
people want to do this, I mean, go on. And by the way, I hate Facebook. That was the only period of time I ever was on Facebook extensively. But if people are thinking about coming here, yeah, go on Facebook and just search. You know, search Israel, search Haifa, search any city you might want to. It's incredible.
Yeah,
the amount of resources on Facebook for people
right.
who are interested in coming here.
No, it's great that you did that. Really good for you. All of you listening, you know, some of you do kind of shy away from, you know, going outside your bubble, and you really have to push. It is if you did this anywhere, if you did any country, you're not gonna just depend on your travel agent. You know what I mean? You're not going to just depend on your rabbi, and it's ridiculous unless that is the world you want to stay in. If that is the world you want to stay in and you want to stay in your own little neighborhood, I'm not critical of that. Okay. Whatever gets you here, I don't care. But what Pete's doing is a little more adventurous. And if you're, you know, a single person, even most what you're doing, it sounds like someone who's much, much younger than 73. You don't sound like a 73-year-old person.
Do you mean that literally? Like my voice doesn't sound like a 72-year-old?
That, yes, true. But the way you behave is not like a older person. Because you've been divorced, you're single, you're on the move, you're not tied down, you're not this, you know, old, you're not in a routine. You don't have a wife telling you what to do.
Right. No, that's true. I've described myself again earlier. I said I'm kind of a literary kind of person. So I've described myself as a kind of mix of Peter Pan and Prospero.
Okay.
For those of you who might get the allusions, I'm sure everybody knows who Peter Pan is. And Prospero, of course, is the sorcerer in The Tempest, Shakespeare's final play.
Now you're showing off.
No. Actually, there's a point to this because at the conclusion of The Tempest, Prospero, who's a world-class magician, basically renounces his magic. He drowns his book. I mean, he tosses his book of magic spells away in order to reunite or to be with his family, who he hasn't seen in many, many, many years. So if you extend the metaphor, maybe my family is my fellow Jewish people and fellow people here in Israel. And my magic would be, I guess. Well, we'll leave that for the time.
Yeah, we'll leave that.
Whatever meager accomplishments I may have achieved in the arts and other things like that.
So, what are your plans now? Let's wrap this up and say you've come here, you've gotten on the plane, you've gotten off the plane, you found an apartment, you found some friends, you opened a bank account, you got your cell phone, all these little details you did.
By the way, like doing all that kind of stuff, like bank accounts, phones, all that stuff, I actually had the help of the young real estate agent who, you know, basically connected me with this apartment, a young guy, like in his 20s, of Moroccan Sephardic descent. And he was really terrific. You know, I mean, he went way beyond what I would have, you know, like what I would have expected someone in his role to do. But even the bureaucrats I'm meeting in government offices, everyone here, and again, maybe this is just Haifa, or maybe it's me also, the way I tend to interact with people, but everyone here has been super, super warm and welcoming and helpful as best they can. It's all been good. And I've met Jewish people from Armenia, Georgia.
Yeah. Great.
North Africa. I mean, you know, and we're all Jewish, right?
Correct. And, you know, that's really nice. I'm glad to hear these experiences. You know, sometimes you don't hear these experiences. Sometimes you hear how difficult people are and how problematic. And it's very funny. It all depends on you. and your attitude. It really does.
I could be difficult too if I have to be, but you know, I'm new here. So, and with regards to your other question, I mean, my future plan at the moment, I'm attending OPON like 3 times a week for about 4 hours, 5 hours every day. So that's basically the main structure I have in my life right now. And most of my fellow OPON students, as I kind of suggested earlier, are from Ukraine and Russia. And they're also very nice people. I mean, it's all good. There are a few Brazilians in there and people from Argentina, again, going with this whole theme of Jewish people from all over the world. So at the moment, my main structure is OPON. That's supposed to go on for about 10 months. And then later I'll get into
10 months? Really?
Yeah. Well, I'm in a special kind of OPON. They call it for pension, you know, because I am 73.
Just say it. Pensioners. Yes. It's for older people.
Yeah, right. But as time goes on, maybe I'll get back into English teaching again or do some editing work.
You should. They need them here. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
That would be great.
By the way, Natalie, I think I mentioned to you, I did listen to one of your broadcasts that you linked me to. And I guess it was back in December, like, you know, this is when I'm actually getting ready to leave. And the war is like 2 months in. But you read a letter from your son who's serving.
Mm-hmm.
I found that really, really moving. The one positive thing I could take out of my horrible Hebrew school experiences, I mean, at least I learned, like, you know, the alphabet. So it was easy for me to pick up. And again, a phonetic language like Hebrew in terms of makes it easier. You know, I'm already I could read all the signage and even in the cursive form. I mean, it's not like I immediately understand everything I'm reading, but I could certainly pretty much, you know, I know what it sounds like. And some of the meanings are clear, but anyway, it's good. It's all good.
Yeah. Well, great. We'll continue and best of luck.
Right. If any of your listeners are interested in speaking with me further, feel free to give them my.
I will definitely pass along any messages. So Pete is in Haifa, as you all heard. And you can reach me at natalie@israelnewstalkradio.com. Send me any messages. I'll send them on to Pete. And, you know, it really is a place that we don't get a lot of visitors from. I mean, the woman last week, I thought she was from Haifa, but she ended up being from Efrat. She was also, you know, from the Ukraine and Switzerland, ended up in Efrat. Haifa is a very international city, so I was kind of surprised.
Shalom, this is Nadia Matar from the Sovereignty Movement. At a time when there is so much disinformation, you have to know who to listen to know what really is going on in Israel. Israel News Talk Radio is the radio where you can know that what you hear is the truth.
Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.